I'm sitting next to Lynn Hill, who founded the Clandestine Cake Club. It is now 180 clubs strong, and we've literally just finished a fantastic meeting here at the Juniper Rose Kitchen Garden School. I think it was an absolutely fantastic afternoon. The weather was terribly unpredictable, so it was going to be a garden party, but we brought it inside. Did you enjoy it today?
I did absolutely enjoy it, and as we speak, I'm in the height of a sugar rush, having eaten about 4 slices, including the cake we made yesterday that we were testing, this chocolate and beetroot cake with some spices. But yes, it's been a thoroughly enjoyable day, and it was really nice to meet some of the organisers, which I hadn't met before, and a lot of the members as well. So it's been a really successful day. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Can you tell me, in your own words, the full story of how you ended up sort of forming something, the Clandestine Cake Club, that is so, has been taken on board by so many people across not just across the UK, across the world now?
It was just a simple concept. I was doing afternoon teas in my own home, serving traditional afternoon teas, and I was doing that once a month, and I wanted to do something similar in the form of a cake club, but I couldn't find anything on the internet. So I decided to set one up of my own, and I did the first event in December 2010 in Leeds, which was very successful, and I did another one in Edinburgh. And with social media, people were saying, well, when are you coming here, when are you coming there? So I created some simple rules and guidelines for people to work towards, and I was waiting for people to want to set up their own clubs. So I continued with the Leeds events, and then one by one, bit by bit, other clubs were created with organisers setting them up themselves. But it was just an idea of bringing people together in the same way that you would do with this vintage afternoon teas that I was doing, because it's the food that brought people together, strangers. But I wanted people to do their own baking, and I wanted to champion the whole cake, not just cupcakes, muffins, brownies. These are not allowed at the Clandestine Cake Club. Because what over the couple of years, what's happening is that the cake is now becoming synonymous with this symbol of sharing, and there is interaction the moment that you actually slice a cake. You will say to the person next to you, would you like a slice of this? Would you like a slice of that? Which I don't think you would get if you had a plate of cupcakes, muffins or brownies. So one by one, the club started, and then they grew, and then suddenly we had the first international one in Barcelona. And we are now, we've at least touched just about every continent, and we only have South America, which hopefully, fingers crossed, someone has shown an interest in creating a club in South America, and we will have touched every continent if that one is successful. And it's just been absolutely amazing, and it's just become a phenomenon that I didn't expect. People are meeting like-minded people over baking. They're discussing recipes, problems that they might have, and friendships are being formed during these clubs. And I didn't actually set out to plan this. There was no business plan. I just thought I will do it and see what happens. And I only expected there to be about 6 clubs. I thought, yes, if I can manage 6 clubs, I'll be happy with that. But with the media attention as well and social media, that's helped to generate more and more clubs and more members. And we now have over 9,000 members and over 185 clubs altogether, which is truly amazing. But the organisers do an amazing job, and the members who are committed to attending these events are really wonderful people as well. And it's amazing when they actually tell me what they get out of it, the friendships that they get out of it, the fact that it's so friendly, it's non-competitive. People are not judged, the cakes are not judged. And what I find disappointing is when people say, I'm sorry I can't come because my cake isn't good enough. It is good enough. People should just take the cakes along and thoroughly enjoy it. It's not competitive whatsoever. We can be our worst enemies. We can be our worst judge in saying that our cakes are not good enough when really they are. And the cakes that we've seen today, I don't know how many there were, every single one of them, although I didn't taste them all, looked truly amazing, and they were all tasted. And I don't think we have a crumb left, do we? Everyone, every slice of cake has actually gone home.
I managed to actually rescue one lady on her way out and said, oh, do take them. So I've got about three slices that I've actually tucked away. But in actual fact, also at the end, everybody shares the cakes. And
yes,
there's also
do.
Sort of, you know, the containers that you bring often end up with different ones. And I really love the fact that you can taste different cakes. And then you can, you know, not every cake is as delicious as every other cake. Sometimes you can get one and think, oh, I don't need the recipe for it.
Mm.
And then says, oh, it's such and such a recipe, or I made it up. And
there's
something, then you can make a cake that you wouldn't necessarily have known was utterly delicious.
Yes, you can taste a cake and you look at the description of the cake and you think, oh, those are two flavours that you know, but you didn't...
There was a lemon rosemary one here. That
yes.
I was absolutely delicious today.
And you think, well, that's an interesting combination of flavours. I'll give that a try.
So, Lynn, what are your hopes and dreams for the future at this point in time with the Clandestine Cake Club?
Other than surviving the sugar rush that I'm in at the moment, I don't really have any plans other than the fact that the Clandestine Cake Club has grown organically and naturally of its own accord, and I will just let it continue that way. I don't envisage that in, say, 6 months' time, 12 months' time, I will be doing this, that, whatever. I just like to see what the day brings and see what the emails bring and these roads that I keep travelling down and just see what happens. To me, I think that's why it's been successful, because I haven't pushed it forward. I haven't driven it to achieve any particular goals, because I think maybe with businesses you can get bogged down to be focused on one goal and not see other opportunities that might come along.
Now, talking about other bits and pieces, you're going to be at the Cake and Bake Show in September, is that right?
That's correct. 13th, 14th and 15th of September, we're going to have a really nice stand, and we're going to be doing a cake competition, and there's going to be a theme. Tastastic is the theme. Anyone can enter, professional, children, amateurs, home bakers can enter. And the idea is that if you submit an entry, we will have a look at the description and see if we can whittle it down to, say, about 10 for each day. And it's going to be judged by Peter Sidwell, who is one of the co-presenters of Britain's Best Bakery with Mitch Turner. And he's going to be actually tasting the cakes. And when we did this in Manchester, it worked really, really well. And that was purely on taste. So that's what the judging is going to be. It's not going to be a cake decorating competition. It's going to be a cake taste competition.
And then I think, hopefully, with a little bit of planning, that we're going to be doing some more lessons and more courses here at the
that
Ginger
would be
Rose
really,
Kitchen Garden
yes,
School.
Yes, see if we can do some courses and workshops of showing how to bake cakes, and perhaps even to think about flavours and tastes and think outside the box when it comes to flavours. That even we were practicing yesterday, beetroot chocolate and some spices. If you look at the right spices, because some spices don't, they will work in savouries, but they don't seem to want to work in the sweets and the cakes. But I think if we can get some interesting combinations together, then we can get people thinking beyond the Victoria sponge, beyond the simple lemon drizzle cakes.
I think we're probably going to call it Beyond the Victoria Sponge then.
That would be a very good, Beyond the Victoria Sponge workshop.
We'll definitely put some workshops on, and we'll have those up on the Juniper and Rose course in... we'll have those courses up on the Juniper and Rose site in another, what if I sort of said, in about another month or so's time. We'll put some dates in.
Yes, we will do.
You've been really busy yesterday teaching here. It's been a really busy cake day today, and you've got to drive all the way back to Leeds now. So I'm going to say thank you ever so much. It's been absolutely delightful to have you here, and I'm looking forward to the next time you're here, and I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you very much indeed, Vanessa, for having me. And thanks to your mum for her generosity and hospitality for allowing me to stay overnight last night. It's been absolutely wonderful. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.